Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I'm Jordan Stevenson, and I'm ready to guide you through the newest, most complex technological frontiers. We take mountains of technical sources, the announcements, the research papers, the deep engineering demos, and distill them into the knowledge you need right now.
And I'm Charlie Matthews. Today, we've synthesized a body of work so dense, it really felt like reading the instruction manual for the future of enterprise software. The insights we've extracted are not about minor feature tweaks. They represent a fundamental architectural shift.
Our mission for you, listener, is to provide an exhaustive, granular report on the artificial intelligence track at AWS Ray. Invent 2025, held December 1st through the 5th, 2025, in Las Vegas, Nevada. We spent weeks dissecting every session, every AIM code, every announcement, every proof of concept to make sure you are quickly and thoroughly well-informed on the state of enterprise AI.
And if you distill the entire conference down to one dominant overriding theme, it's this: the transition is over. We are rapidly moving past the novelty phase of generative AI. The simple chat bots, the single query summarization tools that were exciting in the early days. We are entering the era of complex, operational, autonomous agentic AI systems.
Right.
These are systems designed not just to provide output, but to reason, to coordinate, take action, manage environments, and operate independently at enterprise scale. And that shift requires a radically new infrastructure and architecture, which is precisely where we have to begin our deep dive.
Okay, let's unpack this revolution then. Let's start with the core building blocks. When we talk about an AI agent, we're talking about what? A foundation model paired with a system prompt and a set of tools. But the real game changer, the thing that makes them capable of serious enterprise work, is orchestrating these specialized agents into collaborative teams.
That's the crucial move from single task execution to complex process management. Session AIM 340, which focused on building AI agents for cloud operations, gave just a pitch-perfect analogy for why we need this team approach. They described that all-too-common scenario. It's 2.00 a.m., a critical security incident has just been triggered.
The worst time.
The absolute worst. And your overworked security engineer is sifting through, and I'm quoting here, mountains of different logs. They are manually correlating information across disparate systems. CloudTrail, VPC flow logs, Security Hub data, all under immense pressure. That correlation gap is the major security vulnerability.
So the solution they introduced was a multi-agent application, basically a specialized digital strike team. It mimics a human organizational structure. I mean, you wouldn't ask your sales team to manage a security incident, right? So you don't ask a generalist AI model to handle deeply technical domain tasks. Instead, you create specialized roles, a data science agent, a security agent, a documentation agent, all of them working together to achieve a complex, skilled output.
Yeah, and they demonstrated the implementation using the open source Strands Agents SDK. They made a point of emphasizing how intuitive it is, claiming that developers can spin up these complex multi-tool agents with like an intent-driven low-code approach. You just define the agent's role, assign its tools, and the SDK handles all the intricate communication and orchestration pathways.
And within their CloudOps architecture, two of these core specialized agents really illustrated the power of this division of labor. First, you have the metadata agent.
Right.
Its role is entirely contextual. It's integrated with a DynamoDB table that holds all the crucial information about the environment, context, ownership, cost centers, tags. It answers the who, what, and where before any action is even taken.
And then you have the security lake agent. This one is purpose-built to execute queries against that immense volume of data stored in AWS Security Lake. And since Security Lake is built on open standards like Parquet, and uses Amazon Athena for querying, this agent's workflow is highly structured. It lists the available tables, extracts the schema, and then it constructs precise SQL queries based on the incident. That tight workflow really reduces the agent's tendency toward those, non-deterministic errors that often plague these initial agent rollouts.
And here's where the implication truly hits home. These agents aren't just sitting there waiting for a human to tell them to move from system A to system B. The architecture lets them move beyond mere monitoring. They're doing real-time correlation and reasoning, jumping seamlessly between completely different data sources, from contextual data in DynamoDB to massive security logs in Athena, all of it automatically.
But what about the compute load? A real incident would spike that through the roof.
Exactly. So to manage that, they leverage the agent core runtime.
The operational backbone.
That's it. It creates a scalable runtime endpoint that interfaces with the front end. And crucially, it manages the compute for the agents, deploying scalable, ephemeral resources on demand. When an incident spikes activity, the runtime scales the compute capacity instantly, making sure the entire multi-agent solution holds up under stress. This is what moves agents from a cool POC to a reliable, production-ready system.
Okay, let's transition that idea to another critical industry. Session AIM337 detailed how agentic AI is being used in member-owned financials, like credit unions, specifically for really complex tasks like loan request processing. This highlighted just how sophisticated the orchestration needs to be for regulated environments.
Yeah, that demo showed a whole hierarchy. You have a supervisor agent that takes the initial input, the loan request, and then it orchestrates a team of highly specialized agents. There was a document agent for parsing tax returns and bank statements, a compliance agent checking KYC and regulatory checklists, and a credit risk agent running financial models.
What makes this demonstration truly next-gen, though, is the advanced tooling provided within that agent core environment. They introduced the Agent Core browser,
which is a huge step, giving an agent access to external systems.
A massive step. This component gives the agents the authenticated ability to browse websites on your behalf, extract specific data, and process those results right inside the workflow. I mean, imagine an agent gathering real-time interest rate data from three competitor sites without having to build custom APIs for each one.
And even more transformative is the Agent Core Interpreter. This is maybe the single largest maintenance reducer announced in the agent space. It enables agents to generate and run complex code, Python, R, whatever, at runtime within a secure, isolated sandbox.
Wait, I want to unpack that. That's a huge security and maintenance implication. If the agent is generating and running code on the fly, I mean, does that mean developers are essentially giving up control? What about security or supply chain risks?
That's the friction point Agent Core is designed to solve.
Right.
The system eliminates the need for developers to pre-write and maintain every little specialized utility function the agent might ever need. So if the credit risk agent needs to calculate some complex, non-standard amortization schedule, it just builds the specific Python code for that. Mm-hmm. It executes it within a secure, ephemeral microenvironment, gets the output, and then that environment is instantly torn down. Control is maintained through the isolation of that execution environment and through the strict policies enforced by the Agent Core Gateway, which I know we'll get to. But the core benefit is clear: a massive reduction in maintenance overhead. You're not maintaining thousands of little helper functions.
Understood. So we have these specialized, dynamic, and potentially code-generating agents all collaborating. How exactly do they ensure reliable, secure conversation between themselves?
The source material was very explicit on this. It's a crucial architectural detail. Agent to agent, or A2A, communication is standardized. It uses the JSON RPC message format transmitted over the HTTPS protocol. That JSON RPC ensures the communication is structured, secure, and clearly defines the method being called and the parameters being passed, which is just vital for maintaining data integrity and observability as these complex workflows progress.
And to dive deeper into the necessity of controlling this complex multi-step behavior, session AIM3331 introduced the Strands Agents SDK for TypeScript. This session gave a really useful conceptual framework by placing agents on a spectrum of agency.
Right, and that spectrum is essential for understanding where the control actually lies. At one end, you have workflow-driven agents where the human defines all the strict sequential steps, if this, then that. At the other end, you have model-driven agents where the model determines the steps autonomously based on the goal. And that leads to high non-determinism, which can be expensive and really unpredictable.
So the trick for enterprise use is constraining those model-driven agents just enough. They introduced agent SOPs, or standard operating procedures. This is basically a mechanism for steering the agent toward predictable, constrained, and repeatable behavior. And that is critical for both predictability and, of course, cost efficiency.
Think of it like defining a playbook. Instead of just telling the agent, fix this issue, you give it a highly detailed, repeatable set of instructions on how to approach the fix. They cited their own internal SOPs that guide their engineering agents, things like prompt-driven development and code assist, which are essentially codified best practices for agent behavior during coding tasks.
And the implementer agent workflow is the perfect embodiment of this controlled autonomy. The agent is given an issue ticket, and it follows a really strict procedure. It creates a new GitHub branch, checks out the relevant code, implements the feature using test-driven development, TBD, commits the changes, and finally creates a pull request for a human to iterate on.
The efficiency gain here is exactly what justifies the cost of this kind of development. The human developer isn't sitting there debugging the code for hours. They just review the final product in the pull request. But let's introduce that friction point. If the agent is doing TDD and creating a PR, How often is that code actually production ready? Are we just shifting human debug time to human review time?
That's the challenge. The source material suggests that by using those strict SOP, the agent is forced to adhere to TDD principles. The quality of the PR is significantly higher than a generalist model might produce. However, they did acknowledge that human feedback is still the essential iteration loop. The agent is reliable for, say, the first 80%. But human strategic review of the pull request remains the final critical step before merging. It shifts the human from coder to reviewer and strategic director.
That implementer agent is a great segue, because while that works in a controlled environment, the transition from a proof of concept to enterprise scale production is where most generative AI initiatives fail. You can have a great agent working for 10 engineers, but scale that to thousands of users simultaneously accessing dozens of secure backend systems, and you hit critical bottlenecks.
That specific scalability and security challenge was the core problem in session AIM-3313, focusing entirely on the agent core gateway. This is the critical piece of infrastructure that allows agents to move out of the sandbox and into the live enterprise environment. It's the bridge.
Right. The agent core gateway is designed to sit as an intermediary layer between the agents and the entire universe of tools and APIs they can access. It solves three major problems: scaling, security, and the complexity of tool discovery.
Let's focus on complexity first. Your key takeaway here was semantic tool discovery.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine an agent with access to hundreds of different tools across your enterprise HR, finance, security databases. If you just dump the entire list with lengthy descriptions of what each tool does into the LLM's context window, you quickly hit context bloat. This increases latency and leads to the model becoming overwhelmed and, frankly, making suboptimal tool choices.
So the gateway elegantly solves this. It maintains a cached internal index of all available tools. When an agent expresses an intent, the gateway uses semantic search to present only the 10 most relevant tools and their definitions back to the LLM. This just drastically shrinks the context size needed for tool selection, which significantly improves latency and ensures the agent selects the optimal tool almost instantly.
And on the security front, the gateway is indispensable. It facilitates secure credential exchange and supports fine-grained access control. This is crucial for integrating with your existing identity provider solutions like Okta or Azure AD. An agent just cannot access a tool unless the gateway explicitly grants it permission based on the defined policy.
And it handles downstream token propagation. This is a non-trivial security requirement. When an agent makes a federated call, a call that moves from one service to another or out to a third party, the gateway ensures the authentication token is securely passed downstream. This means the agent operates under the exact, precise security context and privilege set of the user who initiated the workflow, which maintains audit trails and security boundaries across all these complex system calls.
We also saw a significant commitment to framework flexibility in session AIM-396. I mean, the reality is that enterprises use a mix of open source and proprietary tools. The Agent Core runtime is designed to host agents built with popular external frameworks, LangGraph, Strands, CrewAI, by providing a standardized dedicated endpoint.
And this is all made possible by standardizing communication through the Model Context Protocol, or MCP. Think of MCP as the common language for tool access. It provides a standardized interface for agents, regardless of what framework they were built in, to securely access external data, tools, and systems. Developers can either host their own custom MCP servers to expose proprietary tools, or they can use validated third-party solutions from the AWS marketplace. It's the abstraction layer that lets the whole ecosystem interoperate securely.
Okay, let's look at a concrete application where this interplay between robust tooling and structured prompts is essential. Session AIM-336 detailed a fascinating case study involving a resilience assessment agent for humanitarian workloads. This agent had to be capable of analyzing really complex infrastructure.
Yeah, the agent's mission was multifaceted. Discover all the workload resources using AWS tags, assess resilience vulnerabilities based on high-level business metrics like RTO and RPO, and then generate comprehensive documentation and recommendations.
And to accomplish that documentation task, the agent was directed to use the AWS Documentation MCP server, which shows that MCP isn't just for proprietary internal tools. It acts as a plug-and-play standard for accessing managed AWS services in an agentic way.
But the key operational takeaway from that session was the meticulous attention they paid to prompt engineering for these complex, non-deterministic agents. The developers realized that just jamming all the instructions, the assessment methodology, the grading philosophy, component definitions into one massive system prompt was causing major issues with clarity and consistency. They found it was necessary to break out these complex instructional components into separate modular files that the agent would reference sequentially.
So why is breaking up the prompt so critical? Is it just about avoiding hitting a token limit?
It's more than just token limits, although that's definitely a factor. It's about maintaining clarity and avoiding prompt corruption. When you embed a massive, complex grading philosophy into a single block of text, the model tends to dilute or forget the earlier instructions as it processes the later text. By breaking them into separate reference files, you force the agent to process them modularly, which ensures consistent behavior. And on top of that, they explicitly constrain the agent to use non-mutative API calls during the resilience review. So even if the underlying security profile had administrative access, the agent's policy prevented it from making any changes. The review was read-only and inherently safe.
That's a powerful lesson. Governance through prompt structure and constrained action.
Right. And that focus on agent design leads us directly to the intelligence that powers them. The sheer volume of data and reasoning capacity required for autonomous agents just elevates the need for next-generation foundation models. And the biggest announcement in the AI track this year was the push to democratize the creation of these frontier models.
This was the thrust of session AIM3325, introducing Amazon NovaForge. For years, building a foundation model from scratch, creating a brand new intelligence, was reserved for a tiny handful of hyperscalers. The cost was astronomical, measured in tens of thousands of GPU hours and petabytes of data, making it completely out of reach for most enterprises. NovaForge aims to fast-track this process and lower those financial and technical barriers significantly.
They detailed the three high-level stages required to create a world-class model. Starts with the empty model, the architectural scaffolding, where you define the size and structure. Then comes pre-training, where you introduce massive, extensive, high-quality data to give the model a generalized understanding of the world. They use the analogy of Gray's Anatomy, giving the model a complete map of the human body before teaching it specific surgery techniques.
And that pre-training is followed by mid-training, which refines that general knowledge, and then post-training, where the specialization happens. This is the application phase, using techniques like supervised fine-tuning, SFT, reinforcement fine-tuning, RFT, and direct preference optimization, DPO.
The strategic value proposition of NovaForge lies not just in accelerating the process, but in providing users with access to checkpoints across all phases. This directly addresses the biggest nightmare in model specialization: catastrophic forgetting.
Right, where you take a general model and fine-tune it so intensely on a niche dataset like tax law that you risk the model forgetting how to do basic math or general reasoning.
Exactly. So by giving access to pre-training and mid-training checkpoints, the enterprise doesn't have to start from scratch. They can blend Amazon Nova Curator data, that's the generalized high-quality foundational knowledge, with their own proprietary domain data during those earlier stages. That means they get a model specialized in tax law that also retains all its foundational general knowledge. It eliminates the trade-off between specialization and capability.
And recognizing that not every enterprise has a massive team of deep learning experts, they introduced push-button recipes. This is a powerful abstraction layer, primarily defined by config files, that sits over the complex underlying training code. So a non-ML expert can configure every critical aspect of the training run data blend ratios, learning rates, checkpoint frequencies, without needing to write or understand the low-level distributed training code. It genuinely democratizes access to frontier AI customization.
So once you have your foundational model, customization for the specific task is the next critical step. Session AIM380 laid out the definitive recommended iterative customization cycle that every enterprise should follow.
It's a progressive, measured approach. You start with retrieval augmented generation, or ARAG. You use external data to ground the model because ARAG is often sufficient and highly cost effective. If ARAG hits an accuracy ceiling, you move to the first level of customization. Supervised fine-tuning, SFT, where you feed the model prompt response pairs. That SFT checkpoint then serves as the base for the most powerful step, reinforcement fine-tuning, RFT. And only after rigorous post-RFT evaluation should deployment occur.
This brings us to a fascinating area. RFT, specifically RFT from verifiable rewards, which was covered in AIM3327 and AIM272. We know SFT is data hungry and expensive, but RFT offers superior performance, with session speakers reporting performance gains of, 60 to 70% over models that only undergo SFT.
RFT is essential for tasks that have a clear objective signal of correctness, like generating clean, runnable code, providing the one correct answer in specialized Q&A, or solving a math problem. The core mechanism is creating a reward function. This function, often implemented as a Lambda service, scores the model's output.
But here's the crucial detail that makes RFT work. The reward function must be gradient-based. It cannot return a binary simple true or false. If it just returns true/false, the model has no idea how to improve. It only knows it succeeded or failed.
Exactly. It's like teaching someone to land a plane. If you only tell them you crashed or you landed perfectly, they won't learn. But if you give them a score, you were 5 degrees off the glide slope or you hit the runway 50 feet past the target, that gradient feedback provides the direction needed for optimization. A gradient-based reward function returns a score close to good, average, excellent on dimension X but poor on Y, allowing the RFT algorithm to precisely guide the model toward better responses.
And managing this complex training and evaluation cycle requires a central platform. That's where SageMaker AI is positioned. It was covered in AION 272 and AIM 388. It's designed as the unified environment for the entire model lifecycle, from initial selection and customization right through to managed deployment.
And a powerful new capability within that ecosystem is serverless model evaluation. You can now use a larger, more sophisticated LLM as a judge to evaluate your customized model's performance. And this evaluation isn't subjective. It's measured against metrics like efficiency, adherence to brand tone, or latency constraints that you defined during the initial use case specification.
And for crucial enterprise governance, the model registry within SageMaker AI acts as the single source of truth. It manages the entire lifecycle, ensuring every version, every checkpoint, every fine-tuning run is tracked, governed, and ready for audit.
Customization isn't solely about maximizing performance, though. It's also a necessity for balancing safety and utility, especially in highly specialized or security-focused domains. Session AIM 382 explored the full range of customization techniques from SFT and full fine-tuning to parameter-efficient fine-tuning, PEFT, like LoRa, and various alignment methods.
Yeah, and the most thought-provoking discussion centered on customization for responsible AI. We know that frontier models are heavily trained to be safe. They inherently deflect requests for generating malicious code, toxic content, or self-harm instructions. But what if your business requires the model to analyze or even generate potentially harmful code, like in ethical penetration testing or cybersecurity analysis?
That creates a paradox. You need the model to be compliant and safe, but its inherent safety mechanisms block its necessary utility. The solution they demonstrated involves using LoRA, low-rank adaptation adapters. These are small, trainable adapters that are applied to the core model and are trained specifically to unlearn specific RAI dimensions, like the block on generating executable code, while the base model's core safety and ethical training remains untouched.
So that means you can create a model variant via a LoRA adapter that will generate a SQL injection payload, but only when used by a certified authorized agent within a dedicated security sandbox for testing purposes.
The Terra security example perfectly illustrated this tension. Their product is built around agentic AI-powered penetration testing. Their offense agent must be able to generate malicious payloads to test system vulnerabilities. But the default safety training of the base model often blocks that essential step, generating those frustrating deflections like, "I cannot fulfill this request," as it involves generating potentially harmful code. Customization via LoRA adapters provides the mechanism to reconcile these conflicting requirements in a controlled, auditable, and enterprise-secure manner.
It's the ultimate surgical approach to safety. You're unlearning just enough to be useful without becoming broadly dangerous.
We've built the specialized intelligence and the autonomous agents. Now we have to talk about the physical infrastructure required to train and run these massive models, particularly in a distributed environment where reliability is constantly under threat.
That was the existential crisis that Amazon's SageMaker HyperPad was designed to solve. It was detailed across several sessions. The core problem with traditional large-scale distributed training is brittleness and efficiency. Distributed training is inherently fragile because you have 1,000 GPUs all collaboratively training one model. If a single GPU fails, the entire job grinds to a halt, and cluster utilization is just chronically low.
So HyperPod introduced two core paradigm shifts to address this. The first is elastic training. Distributed training clusters often experience dips in demand or utilization. Elastic training lets the training jobs dynamically scale up or down. They affectionately called it playing Tetris with cluster capacity.
And to explain that, the job scales by shrinking or growing the data parallel replicas. If idle capacity becomes available, HyperPod dynamically increases the number of replicas, utilizing that spare capacity to accelerate the training job without impacting model convergence metrics. It ensures that the cluster is consistently utilizing 95% of its available compute power.
And the second, and maybe more revolutionary concept for resilience, is checkpointless training. For years, resilience meant constantly saving checkpoints, these massive files, so that if the cluster failed, you could restart from the last saved state. Checkpointless training fundamentally shifts this recovery strategy, ensuring training continuity without relying on those traditional checkpoints.
The mechanism is highly complex, but the outcome is simple. Training continues even if a node fails. It provides unparalleled resilience and minimizes wasted compute hours. This continuous, high-efficiency output is what they call goodput, and HyperPod consistently achieves 95% goodput on training clusters.
The hardware required to handle the sheer scale and complexity of the agentic future was also front and center with the announcement of Trainium 3 silicon and server software. This is purpose-built to handle the unique demands of autonomous agents, offering dramatically more compute, memory, and memory bandwidth than its predecessor.
And the connection between Trainium 3 and agentic AI is direct. Agentic systems require longer context lengths for complex reasoning chains, and they generate far more verbose, detailed output than a simple chatbot. Trainium 3 is optimized for this. The latest generation allows users to serve the same number of users while providing up to 6 times higher output tokens per second. That increased memory and throughput is absolutely essential for running the long, multi-step reasoning processes that autonomous agents rely on.
So once trained, these models must be served to thousands of agents simultaneously, and performance and cost efficiency become the overriding concern. Session AIM424 detailed several advanced optimization techniques for inference performance.
The most talked about innovation was EGL heads, which stands for speculative decoding. Speculative decoding addresses the sequential bottleneck of LLM output. Traditionally, the model generates one token, processes it, and then generates the next. EGL heads uses a smaller, much faster draft model to quickly generate a sequence of the next tokens in parallel.
And the main foundation model then doesn't generate sequentially, it just validates that sequence of tokens simultaneously. If the main model confirms the smaller model's prediction, the throughput jumps significantly. They showed that this achieves up to 2.5 times higher throughput without compromising the accuracy of the large model. It's a massive efficiency hack that doesn't sacrifice quality.
Another critical technique for efficiency is efficient LoRa adapter serving. Instead of dedicating an entire GPU instance to every customized model variant, you deploy the single large base model onto the instance. Then you run multiple lightweight LoRa adapters, which we discussed for customization, on top of that single deployed base model.
So this means a company, like a major retailer, might have 50 different LoRa adapters for specialized tasks, product description generation, HR policy interpretation, compliance review, but they only need to deploy 3 or 4 high-powered instances for the base model. This drastically improves cost efficiency, density, and latency because the specialized response is instantaneous based on which adapter is invoked.
Cost management is non-negotiable for enterprise deployment. And Session AIM3304 provided critical granular detail on the 4 consumption tiers for Amazon Bedrock. These are designed to allow enterprises to precisely balance the necessary trade-offs between accuracy, latency, and cost.
Let's break down those 4 tiers, starting with the highest performance. We have the reserve tier. This offers guaranteed high reliability and predictable, extremely low latency. It's the premium high-cost option, the private plane of model consumption, meant for mission-critical, zero-downtime applications.
Just below that is the priority tier, which is still pay-as-you-go, but it carries a price premium. This is for high-priority, low-latency applications that simply cannot tolerate request retries or throttling. Think of a human customer service rep waiting for an immediate suggested answer.
Then there is the standard tier, designed for general workloads that are robust enough to tolerate some retries and normal cloud elasticity.
And crucially, the 4th tier is the flex tier. This is a discounted pay-as-you-go model explicitly recommended for latency-tolerant workloads, such as agentic workloads. Since an autonomous agent often runs in the background, orchestrating a workflow, analyzing a security log, performing a compliance review, no human is sitting there waiting for an immediate response. You can trade off absolute, immediate speed for significant cost optimization, making the flex tier the sweet spot for large-scale enterprise agent deployments.
We also saw cost optimization applied at the prompt level. Session AIM390 highlighted the value of prompt caching. Since system prompts, safety prompts, and structural instructions are often syntactically and semantically identical across thousands of calls, caching the intermediate attention states for those standard prompts reduces the need for repeated compute cycles.
And this not only saves costs, but it also improves performance, specifically the time to first token, TTFT, because the initial complex processing of the system prompt is already done. It's a smart way to capitalize on the commonality of enterprise system instructions.
Finally, focusing on specialized hardware optimization, AIM 414 introduced the Neuron Kernel Interface, NKI. This is deep in the weeds, but important for maximum performance on Trainium and Inferentia silicon.
The NKI is a library of highly optimized pre-implemented kernels like NKI Attention that can be plugged directly into popular open-weight models like Qwen3. This allows model developers to bypass standard software libraries and directly leverage the unique underlying hardware features of Trainium, pushing performance to the absolute maximum. It moves the optimization from the high-level SDK down to the hardware-aware kernel implementation.
And speaking of fine-grained optimization, session AIM 3338 introduced a fascinating detail called the LZ penalty. This is an information theoretic penalty acting as a variant of frequency or repetition penalties.
Its purpose is ingenious. It's used specifically during large batch inference jobs to prevent models from descending into generating repetitive or nonsensical outputs that, I cannot answer this question because loop, that models sometimes get stuck in. And it achieves this without degrading the model's overall accuracy, and the performance impact is negligible, with less than 0.5% throughput slowdown reported. It's a key ingredient for reliable, high-volume batch processing.
The move to autonomous agents capable of taking action, creating code, and managing financial systems introduces profound and complex responsible AI challenges. When you grant systems high levels of autonomy, the questions immediately shift from can we build it to can we trust it? Session AIM 422 delved into the scientific and philosophical challenges inherent in this new paradigm.
One of the most mind-bending concepts was the embedding space problem. Traditional computer systems process information and input space text as text, images, or pixels. But AI models reason in an embedding space, a low-dimensional vector space that captures the deep, abstract similarity between pieces of data.
And the speaker noted that in this abstract embedding space, boundaries between different data types. For example, the boundary between general data and sensitive PII can blur. Since the AI's reasoning is taking place in this opaque abstract space, it becomes extremely difficult to apply traditional input-output filters or guardrails to prevent security or privacy violations. That blurring of boundaries is a genuine scientific hurdle that makes governance fundamentally harder.
This challenge is compounded when we consider agent behavior. The session used the classic behavioral game theory example of the ultimatum game to show how humans, and thus agents trained on human data, are often inconsistent with rational models.
Right. In the game, Alice offers a split of money to Bob. If Bob accepts, both get the money. If Bob rejects, neither gets anything. Rationally, Bob should accept any non-zero amount. But in repeated lab studies, people often reject offers they deem unfair.
Exactly. The point is that AI agents based on LLMs, trained on text that reflects human social and moral behaviors, may exhibit similarly non-rational, unexpected social or moral behaviors. You cannot simply trust the agent to make the optimal decision if that decision violates a deeply embedded but non-rational social norm it learned from its training data.
So to counter these unpredictable behaviors, ND's approach, which was detailed in AIM 3323, was extremely proactive, defining an AI constitution. This isn't some post facto policy. It's an internal foundational document established before product development even begins.
And the Constitution mandates the alignment of every AI project with core business values, things like ensuring a seamless user experience, minimizing security threats, and maintaining data privacy. It gives a foundational reference point for every governance decision made downstream.
They also outlined three overarching risk mitigation strategies they use internally. Baking, which is building desired behavior into the system via careful data selection and training. Filtering, using explicit guardrails on inputs and outputs. And guiding, ensuring transparency via data, model, and system cards.
And to test their filtering mechanisms against real-world threats, Indeed uses a rigorous testing methodology. They create thousands of adversarial agent personas. These are specialized agents designed to systematically and relentlessly test the robustness of their guardrails against various harms, trying to trigger scams, prompt injections, or toxic outputs. This ensures their defenses are battle-tested against sophisticated digital threats, not just simple human input errors.
Whether the AI is rational or irrational, autonomous systems operate on massive amounts of highly sensitive data, making multi-layered data protection a non-negotiable requirement. Session AI M339 walked through a comprehensive architectural strategy leveraging AWS services for robust data security.
The strategy begins with a data processing pipeline, PII detection and sanitization. The process starts by running scanned documents and PDFs through Amazon Textract to extract the raw text. That raw text is then fed into Amazon Comprehend for the explicit detection and identification of PII. And this entire sanitization workflow is managed and orchestrated within a SageMaker pipeline, which ensures auditable, consistent processing.
They also covered techniques for ensuring privacy even after the data is sanitized. They discussed implementing differential privacy techniques, specifically focusing on K-anonymity. The goal of K-anonymity is to prevent re-identification by making sure that quasi-identifiers' data points that are not unique on their own, like the combination of age range and zip code, cannot isolate a single individual within the data set. It's a necessary step to protect against linkage attacks.
And architecturally, the most fundamental defense layer is architecture isolation. The strategy mandates the separation of the initial raw data, which lands in one S3 bucket, from the processed sanitized data that feeds the GenAI application, which resides in a second, highly restricted S3 bucket. This physical separation prevents unauthorized access to raw sensitive data, even if the GenAI application itself is compromised.
And finally, compliance has to be automated. They emphasized enabling the IPACA compliance conformance pack in AWS Config. This provides automated continuous monitoring and alerting against any deviations from preset compliance rules, ensuring that if an infrastructure change inadvertently violates a data residency or access rule, the security team is alerted immediately.
So since LLMs are stateless, but autonomous agents require memory to perform long multi-step tasks, addressing the state management problem is essential for governance. Session AIM 331 introduced Agent Core Memory to bridge this exact gap.
Agent Core Memory provides a fully managed, scalable conversational store with APIs that automatically manage the memory extraction overhead, the heavy lifting of condensing and retrieving relevant history. They detailed three built-in memory strategies.
The first is summary memory, which just condenses the interaction history into brief summaries. The second is user preferences, which lets the agent remember personal settings like always send reports as a PDF, or I prefer Python code over Java. And the third is semantic memory, which stores deep contextual relevance, allowing the agent to retrieve core concepts or ideas from the past, even if the current conversation doesn't use the exact same language. Experian reported that implementing Agent Core long-term memory drastically simplified their architecture and reduced their time to value significantly.
The ultimate control mechanism, which provides the necessary certainty for autonomous action, was revealed in session AIM 426, Agent Core policy features. These allow developers to use natural language to define the deterministic bounds and behaviors of agents, operating much like IAM policies define user permissions.
This is a huge governance leap. And what makes these policies so powerful is that they can be formally proven using automated reasoning techniques. This provides mathematical certainty that your agent cannot deviate outside those defined boundaries, regardless of its LLM-driven creativity.
So if I write a policy in English saying, this agent may only perform read operations on database X, the system can mathematically prove that the agent will never perform a mutative operation, even if the underlying administrative credentials allow it.
Precisely. The example given was enforcing non-mutative API calls within an agent conducting a resilience review. Even if the user initiating the agent workflow has full administrative privileges, the Agent Core policy, being formally proven, overrides that. It ensures safety regardless of the human in the loop. And the speakers stressed that with the rise of self-evolving agents, agents capable of writing their own tools and updating their own system prompts, these external verifiable policy boundaries become absolutely essential for preventing unintended consequences.
We've spent most of our time in the realm of text and code, but the AI track demonstrated a revolutionary consolidation of intelligence across all data types. Historically, dealing with multiple data types, text, images, video, audio required stitching together several specialized models, which often led to poor holistic understanding.
That changes with the announcement covering Amazon Nova 2 Omni. This was in AIM 3324, 3341, and 375. This was heralded as the industry's first unified multimodal reasoning model. And the term unified is key. It handles all modalities, text, image, video, and audio on input, and can generate both text and images on output.
Its performance is reported to exceed state-of-the-art benchmarks, especially excelling at complex reasoning tasks like understanding mixed context within documents. You know, think of a financial report that contains charts, tables, footnotes, and ProsNova 2 Omni processes all those components holistically to answer sophisticated questions.
The most profound breakthrough is in video understanding. Traditional methods had to segment a video into separate streams, individual frames, an audio track, a transcript from text overlays, and then try to stitch those insights together. The result was often poor accuracy. Nova Omni processes the video holistically, similar to how human perception works, understanding the interplay between sight and sound simultaneously to extract deep meaning.
And for developers, this unification is simplified via Bedrock Multimodal Solutions, BDA. Instead of figuring out which specialized model to call for a given data type, BDA provides a single API endpoint. You send any modality or combination of them and specify the desired output format, and BDA handles the entire orchestration, routing the request to the correct underlying model architecture automatically.
The customer example, AIR, which is a creative operations platform managing 8 petabytes of visual data, transitioned their massive workload to BDA. They cited simpler maintenance because of the single API interface, easier scaling, and, crucially, improved security assurance. They know their files are safe and not being shared, sold, or used for model training, which is a significant trust factor when you're dealing with proprietary creative assets.
Beyond the foundational models, the tracks showcased highly specialized, high ROI applications built on this new multimodal foundation. These demos showed AI solving real business problems, not just research puzzles.
In creative AI, Session AIM 373 tackled a very specific marketing problem, generating branded marketing images that are strictly on brand. Generic image models often make crucial subtle changes. They might change the texture of a luxury sofa or slightly alter the color of a company logo when you ask it to change the environment around the product.
The technical solution involved a sophisticated pipeline using in-painting techniques with a prompt mask. This allows the operator to mask off the core product, the sofa, the delivery van, the logo, and tell the model, do not change these pixels. The model is then free to change the environment, the lighting, the campaign setting around the masked object while keeping the product structurally and aesthetically intact.
And quality control was paramount. They weren't relying only on human judgment. They implemented a multi-step quality pipeline using measurable aesthetic scores, specifically HPS V2, which can run efficiently on CPU to save cost. They confirmed the effectiveness through human preference evaluation, achieving a remarkable 70% preference lift over the base model's raw output. That really validates the business value of that masking pipeline.
Switching gears completely, Session AIM 237 introduced a specialized solution for industry compliance called Rapid Review and Assessment, powered by Intelligent Documentation. This is an open source solution designed to streamline the large volume document review necessary for things like sustainability compliance, like checking that new equipment installations meet strict energy efficiency standards.
The Rapid workflow is designed to manage complex regulatory constraints. Phase 1 uses AI to extract structured data pulling specific compliance criteria out of massive, often unstructured, government checklists. This structured output is then validated by a human. Phase 2 involves uploading the equipment specification files for review against those validated, standardized criteria. It transforms a bottleneck task into an automated, auditable capability.
A fascinating real-world example of efficiency was shown in AIM 256 on waste classification. Using Nova's multimodal capabilities and IoT devices, AWS offices achieved nearly 95% accuracy in real-time waste classification at recycling stations.
That near-perfect accuracy means recycling efficiency goes up dramatically because the system can tell the difference between a coffee cup sleeve and the cup itself. But the key insight was the seamless user experience, providing immediate feedback on where to drop the item, which changes human behavior positively.
Finally, the deep dive confirmed that agents are moving into strategic business roles. Session AIM 395 covered highly autonomous marketing agents. These agents go beyond simple email generation. They are capable of making strategic decisions, optimizing campaign timing, personalizing messaging, and providing real-time personalization across multiple channels. Email, SMS, social media.
And they achieve this high autonomy by consuming vast amounts of customer behavior data and performing data cleansing before execution. They operate through the Agent Core Identity Service using standardized authorization protocols like Okta via the gateway, ensuring that their autonomous decision-making is both data-driven and fully secure.
So, this entire track signals a fundamental, definitive shift in enterprise technology. To summarize the massive scale of reInvent 2025, the dominant narrative is the move to specialized, multi-agent systems built not just to reason, but to take autonomous action.
And that agentic autonomy relies entirely on new foundational intelligence, driven by the Nova family and democratized frontier model building via Nova Forge. Companies no longer have to choose between foundational knowledge and deep specialization. They can access the full spectrum.
Absolutely. And none of that scale is possible without the corresponding breakthroughs in infrastructure and governance. We saw the essential role of Trainium 3 hardware, optimized for long context chains, and SageMaker HyperPod with its elastic and checkpointless. Training to ensure models can be trained resiliently and efficiently without fear of cluster failure.
On the inference side, the focus shifted entirely to cost control and speed. The Bedrock service tiers, particularly the discounted Flex tier for those latency-tolerant agentic workloads, and the Agent Core Gateway with its semantic tool discovery. Those are the critical layers that make the vision of thousands of reliable, cost-efficient agents a production reality.
And the governance discussion was equally important, recognizing that complex, autonomous systems require proactive scientific strategies, from defining an AI constitution to deploying agent core policies that can be formally proven to constrain even self-evolving agent behaviors. We are moving from managing simple APIs to managing an entire digital ecosystem.
And that ecosystem is where the real complexity lies. As one speaker noted, we are now managing not just one model performing a single task, but an entire environment filled with interacting, potentially non-deterministic critters. While the industry is moving aggressively towards this productive autonomous vision, the infrastructure, the governance mechanisms, and the responsible AI frameworks have to continuously evolve to support this complexity securely and predictably.
So what does this entire roadmap mean for you, the developer, the engineer, or the leader building on the stack? We saw the debut of autonomous coding agents like the implementer agent and the rise of self-evolving agents capable of writing their own tools and updating their own system prompts. This fundamentally changes the role of the human in the loop.
Yeah, if AI agents can reliably and quickly write, test, and debug code handling that 80% of routine implementation and debugging, the traditional value of the human developer shifts dramatically. The provocative question this entire track leaves us with is this. If AI agents can write and debug code faster and more resiliently than humans, how should organizations strategically prioritize human time to focus on strategic creativity, high-level system design, and, critically, high-level problem definition that agents still cannot achieve?
That transition from coder to strategic director is the frontier we'll all be navigating next. Thanks for diving deep with us.
We'll see you next time.